Hey there, folks. It's the frequency from beyond space and time, at the same time, every time. You're listening to Mad Tower Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the 41st installment of Mad Tower Radio, the Season 3 premiere. We got new desks. We got new mics. I'm in a new desk. You guys know how this goes, right? We do a little bit, take a little break, but we always come back. The signal lives. And my name is Dan, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Ryan and Christian. If you're joining us for the first time, usually on this podcast we talk about all things in the realm of horror, or at least horror adjacent, weird science, weird history, cryptids, conspiracies. You just never know what you're going to get when you click on an episode of Mad Tower Radio. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
I mean, you're doing all right. It's been a little hot up here. Talk about the weather,
It's really fucking hot in here. I turned the AC off.
I've been good, you know, just doing the thing, just keeping up with it. I've been really excited to get back into this. I don't want the listeners to get the insinuation that we don't talk outside of recording this. So while we all have still been hanging out and talking, it's just good to be back.
It takes a long time to catch a season's worth of cryptids, put them in cages, and study them for each episode. So now that I've had the time, I think I'm ready to give out a good season.
Exactly. And, you know, consistency has always been our biggest issue.
Our biggest strength, our ability to grow back like a mold.
It's true. We could start from nothing. I'll be making this on a Boost mobile construction site phone if I have to.
The ones that you could run over.
Yeah, dude.
Hey, you know, if I had to guess, most podcast listeners are between the age of, like, you know, 16 and 22. When you get to your mid-20s, shit gets busy, okay? Mm-hmm. It gets hard.
Ryan, Christian, I don't know about you guys, but it's become apparent to me that we're not just throwing words out there. People are listening to this shit. I had a lot of people being like, when's the show coming back? When's the show coming back? So, I'm sure people are going to be excited. People are going to be happy.
Without further ado, let's give them what they came for, yeah?
Yeah, I'm ready to hear it. We left you on a bit of a cliffhanger with the Season 2 finale, Christian, with the Black Pope Part 1. And we recorded Black Pope Part 2, but we lost it. Straight up unusable.
The papal interference made all of our recording equipment explode.
But we're back, and I'm ready to hear about it. Again, it's been so long that I forgot.
Fucking-tastic. I was hoping you were going to say that. So, for those of you who, you know, listened to the Black Pope episode number one and maybe need a little bit of a refresher, the first episode covered the lesser-known entity that is the Black Pope. It is an official position within the papacy. It's sort of the right hand of the, you know, white pope that we all know and love. It's somebody on the record, and they're, you know, chosen and elected in the hierarchy. And there's a number of people who think that maybe he is the one who takes part in more of the subterfuge in the papacy. Someone who does, you know, the underhanded assassinations, general world domination shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But in my research of the Black Pope, which was very interesting, there was always the mention of another, of a deeper, more powerful entity known as the Gray Pope.
Yep. I remember we scratched the surface of the Gray Pope last time.
And everywhere I read, they said, oh yeah, you know, the Black Pope, you know, he's elected, everybody knows him, you can see his picture online, but it's really the Gray Pope who's doing it all. And I tried as hard as I could to find a picture of this man, and he just does not exist. Whether or not he does exist in this universe is a question, but on the internet to say, I can't find him.
Oh no, I remember, it's coming back to me now. The Great, we could only find his name. The Great Pope was Pepe Orsini.
Yeah, dude, remember that? I like named my, like, that failed file we recorded, like, Orsini's Paninis or something like that.
So the crux of this conspiracy is that Pepe Orsini, the Gray Pope, has an even higher, more influential position within the papal see, and he comes from what is known as the papal bloodlines. Mm-hmm. Does any of this ring a bell to y'all?
Yes.
Yes. The Medici was one of them, right?
Yes. I'm going to put in a image for you. I've got a graphic with all of the papal bloodlines for you to take a look at.
Ooh.
And some of these you might have heard. We're very familiar, I think, with people like the Borgias.
I've heard the Borgias.
Exactly. Yeah. Or the Aldobrandini, who notably the princess of the Aldobrandinis just married David Rothschild.
Oh.
Very big in the conspiracy world when that wedding happened. Everyone lost their shit.
Yeah, Pepe. Pepe Orsini. He's the king around here.
These all look like the great houses of Dune, bro. Where's
it's Atreides? Essentially the great houses of medieval Europe. Like, the problem was when somebody is elected pope, they then have the responsibility to name and create bishops. They get to pick who becomes a cardinal. They get to pick who goes to what church and who has control of what church lands. And so these 13 oligarchical families were able to, like, hold power for thousands of years, and they become, like, entrenched forces in the world. Mm-hmm. And people think that they're this sort of puppet master type entity.
Yeah.
Now, the sort of twist to it is that, like, these families, the Aldobrandinis, the Borgias, you know, were the, you know, the bad popes.
Uh-huh.
The Medicis, the famous family of, I think they have a show on Netflix. But the sort of arm of them, the sort of actionable power, was the Jesuits.
Yeah.
So we talked in the first episode, this was the order of not really monks, but just sort of like a knightly aristocratic society that was formed in the 1500s during a time of great strife for the Catholic Church. It was a Medici Pope, Clement VII, who had gone through the Protestant Reformation, you know, Martin Luther's theses. He lived through the sack of Rome during the Italian Wars and the rise of Anglicanism and the British crown leaving the Catholic sort of sphere of influence. So he thought that, you know, Catholicism was under attack and that they needed this band of, like, powerful forces, these, like, armed men to go out and do things in the world.
Yeah.
And that's where we got these Jesuit orders. It was, I think actually it was created by Pope Paul III, who was a Farnese family member. I think Clement VII was right before him, who had lived through all those bad things. And he told, or the next pope was like, oh, we got to do something.
Okay. So these guys just, like, you know, the Pope was elected and everything, as long as his last name was Aldobrandini, Borgia, Breakspear, Shigi, Colonna, Orsini, Medici, Farnese, like that.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring this up before we got too far away from the names. It has to be a reference, right? You Kenta Maiora had to have taken the Farnese and made Farnese, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. She's a fucking papal knight or whatever.
The man did his research. So you're finding the name Pepe Orsini, like, outside of these conspiracy circles? Like, do we know Pepe Orsini is a real guy? Because you can't find any photos of him online.
See, the problem with trying to nail down a conspiracy is that the less you know, the more justification it has for existing for these people.
Right.
If, like, you can't prove something, that's a part of the plot. That's proof that, like, Pepe Orsini operates in the shadows and he can't be tracked. Right. And can't even see his name.
I just, you know, part of me thinks of the It's Always Sunny thing where Charlie's, like,
Pepe Silva
in the mail room and he's like, it all comes back to Pepe Silvia. You know, and, like, the Pepe meme, like, there's a part of me that thinks we're getting, like, pranked by fucking 4chaners. You know what I mean?
If we are going to get pranked by the 4chaners, I mean, I'm going to get a fucking episode out of it, right? I'm not sitting here praying to the fucking boat.
It's true.
But the interesting part, like, this is the top layer. You know, papal conspiracy, people controlling strings through the royal oligarchical families, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's the stuff that most people get to. But as I dug deeper, I got the juicy bits that I wanted to share with you.
Okay? Uh-huh.
So, one of the things that I wanted to investigate was like, well, what exactly is their goal? What do these people want? Like, do they just want to be oligarchical, all-powerful, like, world-deciding, you know, people?
I've found in some research the closest thing to, like, a quote-unquote end goal is that, like, there's no way for them to bring up overpopulation as an issue, and their most obvious solution is to kill people, right? And nobody's going to be like, we need to kill people for the sake of overpopulation. So they're like, we're just going to do it anyway from the shadows.
That's exactly what I was able to, like, surmise. It's some kind of, like, mass death cult, like, mm-hmm. population culling kind of conspiracy going on.
Yeah.
Now, you start to find these connections when you look at the more, like, mystical origins and, like, the beginnings of these families. Like, uh-huh. they try to associate themselves with the Ptolemaic bloodlines, the Saturnalian Brotherhood, the Zoroastrian bloodline of the Illuminati. These are all titles that they carry around with them to try and give them, like, clout of being ancient societies.
Yeah.
And then people who, you know, post inscrutable nonsense online, they want to, like, reveal to us that the Catholic religion, the whole, like, papal bureaucracy has been influenced and taken over by these families to go past their original purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fucking Jesus and prayer and all that bullshit. There are people that think, like, this is in an ancient infiltration that didn't happen in the medieval eras when the Medicis and the Borgias were able to garner power, that they were influenced by earlier cults.
Mm-hmm. Like,
one of my favorite examples and the justification they give is that they say that these families are influenced by ancient Zoroastrian and ancient Egyptian cults.
Uh-huh.
And they say, oh, you know, Israel, right? You know, the homeland of
I think I remember you talking about
the
this.
Jews. Exactly. Yeah. You know where this is going to go.
I remember, yeah.
They say, isn't it curious that if you say Israel, you know, kind of slow, and you think about this Egyptian pagan influence on them, it sounds a lot like Isis, Ra, El, the trinity of the Egyptian pantheon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, and what do you want to go from there, bro? Like,
yeah, it always comes back to the fucking Egyptian mythology, you know.
It seems to, right?
I mean, they're left vague enough that you can connect whatever you want. That's why they have like 4 trillion episodes of Ancient Aliens, you know.
Because you can do whatever you need, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of fits the slot for anything. It's like, oh, this is what's going on? Well, if you look back, you know, in ancient Egypt, you know, they did have alligators, and here in the United States, we also have alligators, but like they just, like, go down these crazy, because, I mean, I know in Egypt, they're crocodiles. They're not alligators. There's a conspiracy as to why that is. I'm just kidding.
Right,
do you know what the difference is? Do you know what the difference is? According to conspiracy theorists as to why there's gators there and crocodiles. Are crocodiles there and gators here?
No, let me hear it.
Why?
They're just spelled differently. It's the same thing.
Oh, man. Alligator deniers. So, no one has ever seen an alligator. Every alligator is actually a crocodile.
They're all actually caimans, inflated with dark energy.
It's not like World of Warcraft creatures. The dark mm-hmm. caimans oh. came from Egypt.
So let me read you a quote I found on one of these ranting blog posts. And it talks to, like, the far-reaching effects of the papal bloodline conspiracy and the Grey Pope's goals. It says, quote, "We use software like Microsoft Outlook for this and that purpose, while these primitive bloodlines use astrology and exotic techniques from black budgeted projects to give out their goals."
So you're telling me that fucking the the Black Pope has all his shit organized on, like, Cosmic Excel.
And he apparently doesn't have a Gmail is what I'm trying to supposed to get from that.
My man is out there with AOL Instant Messenger.
He has a truth mail.
Pepe Orsini uses, like, a Glintstone cell phone instead of, like, an iPhone.
Blackpope.arturo.sosa at Illuminati.com. That's his phone. They use the fucking... They use the fucking, the Cosmic Truth Net.
Not the Cosmic Truth Net. Not the Cosmic Truth Tor browser.
Like, it's when you get to these, like, esoteric, cosmic goals, is that when you start to hear a lot about the beast system. Now, do you remember me talking about the beast system last time?
No, yeah, I don't Father remember Gascoigne the beast was a bitch. System.
It gets all Bloodborne-y here in a moment, so... Oh.
Yay.
Oh.
So, what they want to tell you is that official Catholic stance, and we all know this, is that the Trinity is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, we all went to Bible school. We all remember this, right?
Right, right, right.
But they want you to know that the truth is the Father, the Mother, and the Son.
S-U-N?
S-O-N.
Okay.
The Antichrist.
Oh.
And that back in the day, in this ancient, these like Mesopotamian origins of all Abrahamic religions, when, you know, people didn't really, like, keep perfect records,
mm-hmm.
we'll say, there was an infiltration into the power systems. I believe it was of the Assyrians, and it was of a woman named Hephzibah.
Uh-huh.
But I prefer her Akkadian name, which is Shamuramat. I think that's way cooler.
Shamuramat.
Yeah, Shamuramat infiltrated, and she married into this, like, Akkadian king, and from there the influence started to creep into, like, what was the proto-Abrahamic religion, so that they were able to get there from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that she is the rebirth, or the reincarnation of an earlier Nephilim named Semiramis.
Okay.
So we know the Nephilim, right?
Yeah, we know the Nephilim, the bastard children of angels and humans.
Mm-hmm. The race that was supposed to be eliminated by the Flood, who have, like, extra powerful abilities, this and that.
Yeah, they're like demi-humans.
Mm-hmm. It's to be believed, you know, by some people, maybe not me, that the final surviving Nephilim, who was the great-granddaughter of Satan, it says it, was able to get in on the creation of these religions early to influence them to start building from the beginning this beast system, so that the Antichrist can be born through, like, these big depopulation blood schemes.
Oh, wow.
Today.
Oh,
coalesced
wow.
through the papal families, who have been able to take advantage of the influence and power wrought by the Catholic Church, when in reality it's just fucking tax evasion. It's all just tax evasion. Like, you can go fucking sicko crazy all you want about the demons who infiltrated, like, the Tower of Babel, but it's just a bunch of people who don't want to pay taxes on land they've had for 1,000 years.
Yeah. True.
Like, it's all just oligarchical bullshit who, like, they propped up kings, they've been propping up government since the beginning of time, and they don't want to let go of that power.
You know, I see that, yeah.
And it leaves people who are frustrated and confused to build these fairly entertaining stories.
Yeah.
About what their true origins could be. Now, before I hand it off, I've got a couple more interesting points that didn't really land well in the wider narrative of the Grey Pope.
Okay.
So, first off, it's said that the world influence right now can be coalesced in three locations.
All right.
It says the power of finance is in London. the power of military is in Washington, D.C., and the power of religion is in Vatican City. And then the people who latch onto this papal conspiracy also latch on to, like, mausoleum and, like, totem worshipping to say, like, the trinity of these three places of power is, like, proof that their, like, their world domination is in place.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah, I remember this. I remember mm-hmm. this vaguely. Talking about the DC monument and shit.
Exactly. And I was going to get ready to dismiss that when I originally brought it up, but then I remembered that very insane coincidence, because sometimes the conspiracy theorists get thrown a bone, and it just so happened that Pope Francis had paid a visit to Philadelphia in September 2015.
Oh, birds.
And on that day, his visit to Philly, which is, you know, an hour and a half from the site of the military place of power.
Yeah, yeah.
The blood moon decided to rise.
No, not the blood moon while the Pope's in town.
They thought maybe, like, the convergence of the powers was happening and that, like, something was going to happen. Because when Francis landed at Philadelphia International Airport and went down the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, fucking ROM came out of the Eagle Stadium. I don't know. Tons of fuel for the fire.
Yeah. That's free. That's like, oh, that's a heyday. Could you imagine just having that tiniest amount of validation, like, exactly. When it happened, you're just like, no fucking way.
My wife is finally gonna let me back in. The blood moon.
Honey, it's the blood moon, just like I predicted.
I bet dudes were losing their shit in 2015.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
Nah, before I give it away, I want to leave it on just the smallest cliffhanger if we ever need to come back. If you ever want to spend more time in the, like, Catholic mysticism, which is one of my favorite places.
It's super sick.
I found one more pope.
No way.
You're not about to tell me about the red pope.
It's the red pope.
There's not a red pope.
There's one more. It's like Final Fantasy. You need the black mage, the white mage, and the red mage.
What does the red pope do?
That's beyond the scope of this episode. Let you know, there is another.
Oh, yeah. You Google the red pope, and all you get is YouTube channels where it's like the truth about the red pope. And it's like a five-hour video.
Come to our exclusive tree hideout where I'll be yelling it out to the birds and the squirrels.
Wow.
All of those birds and squirrels will then be killed after that because they will have known too much after that.
Their eyes will burst and the blood moon will rise.
Yeah. Just like in Philly.
Oh, yep. My lord. Well, that was so awesome.
There it is. That's the truth.
That was good.
That is the truth. That's it. That's fucking wild. There's just so much. There's just so much meat there for these, like, you know, like you play like a video game nowadays.
Well, it can branch. You watch them. Huh? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I just was going to say, like, that whole, like, Catholicism, like, conspiracy / mysticism stuff like this, that's just such a beefy subject matter. It's like, I should not be seeing any remakes of movies or video games, not when you have that much to dig through of new stuff that hasn't been, like, tapped into yet. Like
in our real, like, society and history.
Yeah.
I'm, like, sweaty now. I feel like I'm a psychopath, like, screaming into my mic. Like, I just, like, have to unload all of that information I learned, and I've been carrying it with me for, like, a month or two.
Go over there and have stick an octopus on your head. Have them suck some of the inside out so you don't go crazy.
Well, Ryan, I think it's all you, bro.
All right. Well, I've been, like, on this ghost trip lately. I've been watching a lot of Arabic ghost hunting videos in my free time when I'm not working. Learning how to react and do things when these creatures do show up. So right. I just was looking at different kinds of ghosts. And today, we're going to be talking about an entity called the Banshee of the Badlands.
All right, I'm sold.
Okay.
Now, I have to lay up some prep, some pre-stuff so that people understand, you know, maybe this is their first time hearing about, you know, Banshees, maybe this is their first time on like listening to the podcast. So I'm going to educate you. So long story short, real quick, what a Banshee is, it's a spiritual creature that originates from like Irish mythology. And they're usually omens of death that come from the other world. So in some stories, it's like the Banshee is like a fairy. So it's like Faekin. They're like, you know, an otherworldly type of creature. Mm-hmm. And they will kind of close to siren. In some cases, they would bring men, like they would lure them to the water and then they'd drown them. Most cases, what people usually associate with Banshees are spirits of women who have died near water. And they kind of hang out around these areas, and they're known for their shrill shriek. Not so much an alluring call like a siren, but like this like terrifying scream. And if you hear it, it will start counting down your doom clock, like in Final Fantasy.
Shit.
Yeah, so it's kind of like one of those entities where, you know, like with the Hellhounds, if you see it, it means something bad's going to happen.
Oh, that's cool.
So, but usually for the person who hears it, I think it's like what I had read is like if you hear it, something bad's going to happen. If you hear it and then see the Banshee, then you're dead. They've been spotting Banshees for, you know, since way back when Ireland was a real place, mm-hmm. all the way up to now, to like around like 1948. Like there've been people saying like, oh, I saw a Banshee. So, and there's like other different kind of plays on that same type of creature. You know, I talked about La Llorona a couple years ago. It's a weeping woman. She's crying because she drowned her kids. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that. So like you hear this woman weeping, and this is like in Mexican folklore, then you run because she will also drown you. So that's what a Banshee is. Just like the cultural aspects and implications of like that creature go so much deeper, but this is just a real quick, just so you understand kind of what's going on. Now that's the Banshee part of this. Let's talk about the Badlands part of it, shall we? So, the Badlands is actually a national park, and it is in the lesser of the Dakotas, the South Dakota. and I didn't know a place like this really existed outside of, like, maybe, like, the Grand Canyon area, but the Badlands National Park looks like what I would picture the surface of Mars looked like.
I'm investigating.
Yeah, look up. It's kind of creepy looking. If you look at how some of the pictures look, like imagine, like it looks like a maze almost.
Yeah, that's Mars, dog.
Right?
Did y'all not play Hulk Ultimate Destruction on the PlayStation 2?
I didn't. Is that where like most of it takes place?
Badlands is it's where Hulk goes in the second half of that game to get out of the city.
You know what? It's probably because it's easy to like. They didn't have to work very hard on that level because it's just like nothing for as far as the eye can see.
It just looks like fucking rocks and mud. Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, we're in the Badlands.
Yeah, there's probably a reason people named it Badland.
Yeah, exactly. And some people think that goes back to like the. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing this correct. Oglala Sioux Indians.
Yeah.
That used to be not a happy place for them. That was a reservation for them. So they may have used that as this is a bad land.
You don't say.
yeah, I know, right? It's not like it's something that's happy.
Imagine.
But, you know.
Imagine they're like, here you go, guys. All this, yours.
Enjoy the nothingness that's out there. I mean, they do got some cool. I mean, they got prairie dogs. Well, they got the bison. But we're not here to talk about all that.
But if someone gave it to me and said, make a civilization here, I'd be like, what the fuck?
It's like when you roll the bad start in like a Civ 5 challenge run.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, looks like I'm stuck in hell.
Yeah.
So essentially what this is people in that area have reported hearing like a, you know, kind of like this wailing. And this is kind of different because Banshees are not. Really, you hear more about them being in Europe than you do about them being here in the United States. You know, we have so many of our other, we have so many myriad of like these amazing cryptids and stuff that we have here. Mm-hmm. So, but you never really hear about a Banshee over here. So it kind of fits, you know, like that this crazy creature would exist out there. And essentially what people would say is way back in the day when they were first encountering it, like during Western times, she would like, they would hear like this thing screaming up on top above them. Usually like these encounters would happen because if you saw the picture, it's like valleys almost. And there's like, you know, you're in like a maze essentially.
Right.
Like the cliff face goes straight up. So essentially they would hear this screaming in the middle of the night. And usually it would happen when like the caravaneers were like kind of at their, not their weakest, but like they weren't really, you know, on guard as much. They were talking around the fires. They were joking around. It was a long day. They'd hear this shrieking, and they would look up, and they would see this woman, this creature with, like, long hair sticking straight up, and it would scream and just come running down the side of the mountain at them.
Fuck that.
And I can't do stuff like that, you know? So, like, people would think that, like noise or music would draw her out. No one really knew what exactly was, like, bringing this creature there, but there was multiple sightings and people encountering it. And of course, you know, some people were saying maybe this was, like, when something like that happens, and again, these are, like, when they are pushing into the West, they didn't really understand things as much. Things were totally new to these people. And then you're in this, like, almost alien landscape.
Mm-hmm.
People were like, maybe these were Native Americans at the time, that they felt like these guys are running straight down the side of a mountain, but maybe it wasn't like that. Maybe these were, like, you know, warriors, that was like a war cry. But in some cases, and a lot of the way that these interactions would go with this banshee is they would hear her scream, and in a lot of cases they wouldn't see her. It was the unlucky few that would actually see her. But usually what would freak these people out is, like, they would be in these, like, maze-like channels or whatever, and you just hear this unearthly scream bouncing out from all over the place around you. And people wouldn't know if it was ahead of them, if it was to the side of them, if it was behind them. They, you know, they had no clue what it was.
Yeah.
But that's not just it. She's not always alone when she shows up.
Oh.
Sometimes she has Mr. Skeletal with her. And I wasn't able to find
a
lot of
Mr. Dude Dude.
She does have a Mr. Dude Dude there. I wasn't able to find a ton of accounts of this, but sometimes there will be like a, they say that she will, people would encounter her with an unfleshed skeleton that kind of just follows her around, and will, like, it didn't say it attacks. It kind of says he just kind of haunts around old camps and walks around, so he's just kind of chilling.
Yeah.
But that's all he does. He doesn't attack. He's just kind of there. So, but then she's the one that's the more aggressive thing.
Uh-huh.
So it just was something that I thought was really cool, because I don't like any type of screams. I don't like stuff like that. I don't like when things move too fast. So I was, like, immediately reading this, it made me think of that movie Mama, the Guillermo del Toro movie.
The one where the girl called you a baby.
Yeah, she did. She's like, are you a baby? And I'm like, yeah, that shit scared the hell out of me. And so anything like that immediately draws me to it. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I really wanted to look up types of banshees in the United States, because I feel like I'm always going to, like, creatures or ghosts that aren't here in the States. A lot of stuff is, like, in Mexico or Europe or South America, things like that. I was like, let me find, like, a good born and bred baseball playing American ghost. You know, it was a close runner up with her and the ghost of Stonewall Jackson, but I thought this was way cooler. I try to put myself in the shoes of the people who encounter it, and it's like, not only is this terrifying otherworldly creature there, because they don't know where it stems from.
Right.
You know, like most banshees, like I said, they're like either like the spirits of like dead women, or it's like a fairy. They don't know what this thing was, so they can just say it's a banshee because it screams, but maybe at one point water ran through there. Nobody knows. That's why it almost is like, it's just so mysterious, you know? And I thought it was kind of cool to have that cryptid / ghost creature even here. Cause like I said, they're usually in Europe. I really went looking for this because I was watching a video. Who was it, like Mindseed TV or like Sir Spooks and stuff like that. And there was a clip where this guy, this security guard, was by himself at night. He's like, I need to get out of here. Like he's filming himself and he turns the camera around and you just hear like this screaming, like the whole warehouse. It sounds like someone's, like the scream is everywhere and the windows are shaking and the building is shaking. And I was like, oh, that's terrifying. And it got me going down the banshee rabbit hole, which is where I ended with her. So that's it. But that is mine. It definitely got me going down more ghosts. I have a ton of ghosts primed up and ready to have for episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like in ghost mode. And I'm kind of feeling like I should hold up. I am so ready for October this year. I am so ready for our next gunch hunt. So,
The hunt.
We got some stuff coming this fall.
Yeah, it's going to be nutsos. Gonna be nutsos. But yeah, really, all that to say, that was mine, the Badlands Banshee.
Oh, I like that.
Ryan Negron, number 308. Thank you.
I'm looking at pictures of the Badlands right now, and like you said, the idea that like native people would use the territory to their advantage to scare the shit out of somebody. Like, if you don't know what's going on and you just see like the noise bouncing off and you're lost and you're scared, and it's a perfect,
yeah,
like perfect fright.
Yeah, like so cool. And it was really cool looking this up because I didn't know this spot existed. It's definitely somewhere where I would like to go at some point. Mm-hmm. Like on a Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island-esque road trip of scary things in the United States.
Well, I guess I'm here to cap it off. And
you've been telling quite a tale.
up a couple messages in the Discord, I sent a link. If y'all want to click on that and open it up. So today, I am here to tell everybody about a set of documents that came out, published 11 March 2010. No, it was published then, but it was not for the eyes of the public until much more recently. I want to say 2019, but I think I might be wrong. But the title for this report, now this, look, I've looked at DOD documents before, I've looked at all this shit before, right? And this is legit, man. Every page has that shit at the bottom, unclassified, for official use only. Even on, like, the stupidest shit, like fucking, like a leave form, has fucking unclassified for official use only. So, like, as far as I can tell, this is real. And the title of this report is as follows: Anomalous Acute and Subacute Field Effects on Human Biological Tissues.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
Now.
Okay.
To give you a quick little translation on that, the report describes alleged injuries to, quote, human observers by anomalous advanced aerospace systems, the effects of people who saw UFOs.
Oh, shit.
And then it goes on to further say, some of which may be, quote, a threat to United States interests.
Sure. Okay.
And, so they went around for this report, and they just got a lot of firsthand accounts from people. Just ask people, like, hey, what, like, so you were abducted, huh? Tell us the story. Tell us what you think happened. Blah, 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 blah. And the coolest thing is, like, earlier you said the conspiracy theorists got thrown a bone. When a document like this gets released, it's not just, oh, the conspiracy theorists have a bone, have more ammo. No, this is complete validation. And these guys fucking, they worked with, now I don't know if they worked with or if they just used their resources, like what they published, but they used MUFON data to talk to some of these fucking guys. And if you don't know, MUFON is Mutual UFO Network, which is a, like, non-profit, non-government organization, just hobbyist UFO sighters. Mm-hmm. You know, and they used some of their data to sort through this shit. So that's fucking huge for us.
Yeah. Well, that's like them acknowledging
that
doing good enough work for the government to use it. Yeah.
It's fucking
steal
crazy.
Your data.
Yeah, dude.
So
plagiarism.
This isn't just a bone. This is full validation of anyone who's ever believed in aliens.
I mean, it makes me feel like if you spend enough time like looking at something and you start to make a good collection, and like for example, say we spend a lot of time with the Bigfoot and we amass a huge Bigfoot Bible. If the feds come knocking on my door and they're like, we need your fucking Bigfoot data,
I'm like, yes, yes, finally.
We'd be like, I mean, in some ways, I get what you're saying. Like, they did some kind of justification, but also, fuck you.
Yeah, you're fuck you, feds.
Put him in a Pride t-shirt and stuff him in the Target. Like, suck my dick.
Yeah, you're going to figure out how to kill him.
Bigfoot.
Right? But I just think it's cool to, like, see that and, like, know that this isn't just, like, BS, you know? Like, to some degree, they're taking this seriously, and to some degree, they're coming at it with a fucking open mind, you know? And they preface it in the report, and they say, we're not here to assert, we're not here to speculate, we're just here to study these reports from people on the effects that these things have on human bodies.
That's cool.
And they'll like only address this shit as a anomalous aircraft, or they'll call it like anomalous propulsion systems. It's just fucking nutty that like this is like a real thing, you know?
Yeah.
And as I tried, look, I tried to just fucking, I didn't want to read the 18 regurgitated articles that came with this from like back end news outlets you've never heard of. Because, I mean, like 14 different sites all published the same goddamn articles, just sifting through this thing for the juiciest bits. And I didn't want to do that. So I just started at page one and started trying to read it. Yeah, I got no fucking clue what's going on for most of this. Reading academia is very hard if you're untrained.
I hear that. Why do you think I got a liberal arts degree?
Sheesh. Goddamn.
I read manga. Like,
oh. But, like, it just shows me this table, and it gives me no other information. And I just don't know how it must have went for them when they actually had to report this to, like, Air Force generals, DOD officials.
Yeah, DOD or something.
Like, guys that have done nothing in their lives but study how to most efficiently kill other human beings. Do you really think any of this is making sense to them? Like, look at the table I just sent you. Do you think any of that is sticking around, or if it's just going one ear and out the other?
Well, I'm digging through it right now, and here's something pretty easy, I think, to understand. It says, examples of analysis describe real and potential effects as microwave communication, ability to instill fear secondary to above.
Yeah. What page is that? I was looking for that earlier.
This is page 13. Like frontal temporal headaches with MM waves, loss of consciousness, muscle spasms, short-term spatial memory loss through microwave pulses.
Uh-huh.
Like, those are the things I'm latching onto right now.
Like XCOM weapons.
Uh-huh. So a couple pages above that is when they start telling you the anecdote about that guy. Right, they addressed Mr. how
XXXX.
how newly unclassified this stuff was, and basically this guy, through Freedom of Information, got a hold of something similar to this report, not this one, but it was a similar report, and he brought it to an FBI field office and was like, just handed over like his manifesto with it as well, and he was like, I fucking know that this is the shit, that this is the stuff that fucking happened to me. And the government obviously fucking arrested him and fucking, you know, shut him the fuck up, and they were like, you're schizophrenic. But the scientists in this are like, no, we looked at the stuff he had and the stuff that he said happened to him, and it's kind of making sense. And how did he get this stuff? It was like 2 days declassified. So in this document, they're talking about how fucking nuts this is, right? So I think this is just some of the weirdest shit I've ever read in my life, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And yeah, it says, examples of systems that INSCOM analysis described as real and potential include precisely those asserted by good observers consistent with near-field RFEM, NIEMR, thermal, intrasonic, and coherent light laser effects. So they're saying that some of the stuff that these crazy UFO people have seen and are saying has happened to them is matching some of the data that they're coming up with.
I'm on page 17 right now. It's the subheading, The Effect That Burns.
Yep.
And it's talking about, like, the effect of the laser blasts on fucking
basically
people.
These things have like the so apparently these UFOs are so advanced that just being near them is fucking up humans.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, it's like like the radiation waves coming off of, like, you know, it always makes you wonder, like, when they're talking about, like, you know, like in sci-fi stuff, it's like, oh yeah, don't get too close to the generator or it's gonna like kill you.
If you flip to page 31, you can see how many of all the cases they reviewed, you can look at how much shit was reported.
Oh, look.
And then at the top, the most common effect with 129 reportings was apparent abductions. At 77 reportings, we have electromagnetic effects on vehicles. 75 paralysis, 75 perceived time loss, light beam effects, eye injuries, heat, and then it just goes on and on with some of these crazy fucking things. 5 people were reported an increased amount of sexual encounter. 5 people reported deaths.
4 reported hair loss. If I see a UFO, I'm going to go bald.
Well, yeah, the freaking radiation shooting out of it.
Claimed ESP development. Some people claimed to become psychic after their fucking shit. After they encountered a fucking UFO. So you see the table, right, where it has all the numbers?
Yeah.
Now, in the little text below it, there is a particularly interesting paragraph. And in no particular order, one of each of the following effects was reported. Electromagnetic effects on power system, involuntary muscle movement, induced body odor, wart growth, sooty deposit. I don't know what sooty deposit means.
Like soot.
Mental enhancement, mental degradation, swallowing difficulty, teeth vibration, fillings crumbled, hair preemptively turned white, time sped up. Here's my favorite. Unaccounted for pregnancy, cancer, fever, stomach sickness, physiological energization, loss of smell, external control of vehicle, and material evidence. What do you guys think of that?
I think it's badass. I think that it really reminds me of that show, not that show, that movie. Have you seen Encounters with the Fourth Kind? Close Encounters with the Fourth Kind? Starring Mila Jovovich of the Fourth Kind? Because like they apparently categorize alien abductions or alien interactions in four different grades. And like it reminds you of like the different grades of encounters, like with the final one being like, I think it was abduction or like probing or something like that. Mm-hmm. But like to like the ESP, because I saw on that chart they also said like nightmares and things like that. In that movie, people were like having these nightmares or like they would see this owl always in their window, but they would say like, it's not an owl. I know it's not an owl, but my brain can't process what it is. It's not an owl, but it has these big eyes and it's watching me, but it's not an owl. Almost like, and like one guy started floating and stuff like that. Like they were developing these things from encountering these, from like these fourth type encounters where like they would straight up get like abducted and probed on and have their brains worked on. Like, because he gets put under hypnosis and he's like, there's an owl in my window.
Yeah.
She's like, tell me about the owl. He's like, I can't. It's not an owl. And he starts freaking out. He's like, it's not an owl. It's telling me it's an owl, but I know it's not an owl. It's behind the owl. Kind of like how, like with the not deer thing.
Yeah.
Or like the tree creature. I forgot. Like we had talked about like a tree entity where like it looks like it's behind it. Like you can't focus.
Right.
Like that's what like this document just made me think of. Not like looking at all these charts and it's hurting my head.
Here, look at these. This is exactly what you're talking about. You can see the ratings for each of the encounters, right?
It has the rating system too.
On page 36.
Oh, CES CE4, which results in permanent psychological injuries or death. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like an MA3 sighting is entities observed on board.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. It is a classification of what all these people are seeing, you know? But the headline of the article that was sent to me before I dove down and eventually found this file right here was just like, oh, scientists release report of like UFO sightings causing an unaccounted for pregnancy. And I was like, what? And then that just led me down this fucking rabbit hole in this fucking study, man. It's insane.
Yeah, that sounds like a really flashy headline kind of symptom. That makes sense.
Oh, for sure it is, but it's still pretty fucking nuts. So if you look at an FBS in the rating system, a flyby which the witness would suffer permanent injuries or even death. And then it says, i.e. Cash Landrum case. So I went and looked into the Cash Landrum case, right? Just so I could cap this off with a little UFO story, okay? And, it's pretty much just how they say it in the report, man. These people were, you know, driving down the road at about 9 p.m. and this like giant crystal pretty much came flying out, hovered over them for like 20 minutes, I think they said the encounter was. And then a group of helicopters came in and surrounded it in a formation and flew away with this like giant flaming crystal. And like
they harvested it?
I don't know.
That's kind of funny. It almost seems like the alien was joyriding its own car, and they're like, finally, Dad came with his helicopter. Like, all right.
The Earth home. People had to be like, please stay within the confines of the base.
I don't want to ask you again.
But yeah, this lady and her friend, Cash and Landrum, respectively, they developed cancer like a few years later and died before they could. Because they went to sue the fucking the U.S. Air Force because that was the closest base nearby, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my good old fucking buddy, Brian Dunning, the Skeptoid, he goes, maybe people, you know, it's completely plausible that Cash and Landrum wrongly, but honestly, placed the blame for their health problems onto whatever they saw and even pushed the truth a bit trying to get the Air Force to pay for it. Fuck you, bastard, is what I have to say. Okay? The helicopters...
Bastard.
The helicopters they describe in this fucking... In this report are the fucking, the twin propeller ones. They're called Chinooks. But they're the ones that look weird because they have two propellers.
Mm-hmm.
And, nobody has those for civilian use. Okay?
That's... Certified military going on.
Certified military technology, man. And, yeah, they just... Fuck you, Brian. Skeptoid. I'm on Boeing's website right now, all right? There's no add to cart for the fucking CH-47 Chinook.
I'm gonna look it up, the CH-47 Chinook. Oh, yeah,
it's the most military looking helicopter in the world, and he's like, could have been anything.
Hobbyist pilot, then all right.
Could have just a couple. It could have been eight hobbyist pilots
in sync stealing this crystal?
In sync, guiding this crystal back to a DOD fucking installation.
Back to the DOD timeout room because he wasn't supposed to be out.
Yeah, right. But I mean, this report is just. Insane. I'm sure we could, like, I'm sure if I understood what I was reading, we could make the entire podcast just about this fucking document. You know? Mm-hmm. It has more ratings. It has, if you go further down, page 35, it has an anomalous behavior rating, the AN rating. You know? Anomalies have no lasting effects, do have lasting physical effects. Anomalies with associated entities, i.e. ghosts, yetis, spirits, elves, and other mythical legendary entities.
Not the elves.
I knew it. The Thalmor.
Fuck.
Yeah. It's pretty fucking crazy. AN5. Anomalous reports of injuries and deaths, i.e. SCH. Spontaneous human combustion.
Bless up.
Unexplained wounds as well as permanent healing that results from a paranormal experience. And then right below the table you posted, Christian, is my favorite part of the document, where it is just letters and blacked out lines.
We love those.
So there was some of this that they weren't allowed to show.
Well, so I'm trying to like make sense of it. Are these... It's a little fuzzy here.
That's because it's a cognito hazard.
Go ahead.
Look at it.
I'm trying to zoom in. Am I looking at, like, names and, like, the classifications therein that are being blacked out?
I believe so, I think. I think it is, like... It's
like X person experienced this and this classification at this and this level, but all of that information
because
is blacked
you,
out
with
the name.
If you zoom in, right, you can tell that these are the only... That, like, those last two pages... Mm-hmm. My bad, three pages are the only scans... If you zoom in on page 27, or aka 36, whatever, it looks great, you know? But then these last couple pages, it's in like a completely different font. It's all oriented weird. So I think this page was doctored by hand before they like scanned this, you know?
I also see like... The number of occurrences that resulted in spontaneous healing are all blacked out.
Yeah. Yeah. All the optic ones are blacked out. Respiratory, skin, spontaneous healing, thermal.
Yeah, all the cool shit I want to see.
Yeah. So it must be like a... it's probably like a cross table where you can just like... The numbers are probably in the middle of the page, because if you... At the top of this page, if it was a complete document, would probably have like the names and just like a checkbox or a number.
Yeah, you like... You just go down the line and be like, how many experience.
Yeah, this must be the actual data.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they're gung shy about, you know, ascribing any extraterrestrial sort of origin to these things. Do you have any sort of thought on the possibility of the United States being a little gun shy about like coming to terms with not being the world superpower on like a military technological level?
Well,
like,
it's got to be like tough to do as like world superpower, and every world superpower is trying to give off this fucking image of we're the best. You know, we know everything that's going on. Just fucking try us. You know, so. It was probably like the world superpower equivalent of like coming out to be like, there might be aliens, you know?
I meant more in the terms of like another nation has this crazy fucked space, or not even space, but like an aeronautic achievement that we can't even touch. Like if, say, Paraguay.
Yeah.
Developed some crazy aircraft that can shoot lasers and give you, like, the back of your head burn off.
Yeah.
That's like, hard to come to terms
with. They have the cancer beam.
Cancer beam.
It feels like Havana Syndrome, almost.
That kind of reminds me of, and this book is fiction, but it reminds me of this short story called A Colder War. Like, I don't want to start saying people be like, no way! Like, there's sugars, they're real! Like, not like that, But it kind of reminds me of, there's this short story called A Colder War, and it kind of touches on what you're talking about, Dan, both of you actually, where like Russia all of a sudden starts deploying this like super weapon in like the Middle East. I think they were in Afghanistan, right? It was where Russia was fighting back in like the 90s?
Yeah.
80s and 90s? And like ends up that they like got that they weaponized these Lovecraftian creatures called Shoggoths to essentially become like living hyper beams that blow away, like, and then the United States is like, we need to do that too. So in their infinite wisdom, they open up a portal in Antarctica that lets them travel across like realities, essentially. So they send Marines in there, and they all come back with cancer because they use the portal too much. And then China's like, well, we're not sitting out on this.
Uh-huh.
So they wake up Cthulhu, and the whole show, I'm not going to ruin the short story, but that kind of got me big vibes, like what you were talking about.
To answer that, I don't think that everybody is, you know, holding a fucking eldritch gun under the table, no. But now that I think about it, though, Christian, I don't know, because if there's one thing the U.S. loves, it is to shift the blame to anybody else that they can, you know?
Sure.
So if they had information that this was Russia's spacecraft, I think that they would be doing everything in their power to kill it, take it, and make it their own. If they had to, I think it would be a smart move to be like, look at the super weapon Russia has. We all need to stop them.
Oh, like a common enemy.
Yeah, kind of thing. It'd be really easy to fucking, you know, make ourselves look like the good guys and get everybody to give us money and men so that we can kill their fucking commie spacecraft and take it and dissect it and make our own in 5 years.
It takes a little hit to your pride, though, to be threatened in that way, to be so thoroughly usurped technologically.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, but I don't think it's enough of a hit to the pride to just be like, well, you won. You're the superpower. Well, I mean, they've said it before that they're like, look, if this is a domestically produced fucking ship, you know, made on Earth, then this is a gross and total failure of our intelligence.
Because we have people everywhere. So, yeah. Like,
so I don't...
For that not to be seen.
I don't think that that's what they think.
Or, you know, there's also the extensive history of the United States testing military technology.
Sure.
And untested, you know... weapons of war on civilian populations. So to be able to like take that hand off of it and be like, oh, we don't know what that was, but we were on the sly flying our new like radiation-powered spaceships just to test them out.
That's true, but if that was the case, I think releasing this report, this specific one right here, under the Freedom of Information, I just don't think that it would happen. Because, you know, every world superpower is like, we know that you know that we did it, but good luck proving it, right? So I don't think they'd ever leave the, let this shit have the light of day if, like, this is all just a conspiracy for them testing their own shit. Does that make sense?
I feel like it's more like, we know that you know that we did it, but fuck you, you're some schizoid on the internet.
Yeah, but fuck you, you're a schizoid on the internet. Right.
It's a weird knot to untangle, for sure. Yeah. But this is fucking sweet.
It is, know, right? Awesome, man. I was just having so much fun just going down the fucking rabbit hole on this thing. I wish I could understand more of it. I had half a mind to get Jess to read it because she reads academia on the fucking regular. Yeah. Like when she's bored, it's insane.
Hey, babe, can you help decipher these DOD docs for me real quick?
Honey,
it's for the podcast. Trust me.
Honey, they're using the big words again.
Honey, what's a millimeter?
Just real quick, what's peroxidase permeability? Specifically at 2,450 megahertz. And if I went up to her and said that, she'd probably be like, oh, it's like this, and I... She would answer me.
What if you asked her that, and then she just looked at you and she's like, why do you want to know?
Yeah, right. Actually, you know what? Let's test it. I'll go get her.
Yes.
We're just going to hear a gunshot in the back.
Yeah.
Jess is a DOD plan.
Computer's
going
to go dead. Oh, no. Dan, don't do it. Dan, don't bring her into the room.
What this means?
Peroxidase permeability.
Yeah, what is that?
That means your body is permeable to the enzyme peroxidase, which breaks down peroxide into water and, I think, carbon dioxide.
And what does that have to do with UFOs?
Couldn't tell you.
All right.
That's a lie. She's a freaking DOD plant.
She knows. She knows. She's actually my case handler.
So,
thank you, honey.
The UFOs are turning us into water balloons is what I'm hearing.
That's what my mind went to as well.
She's my case handler. She's going to the other room to get her silenced little pistol and put it together. Shoot me in the back of the head. The
Freedom of Information Act.
Oh, yeah. I could get so much more out of this if I just understood it.
If only I could read.
If only I didn't drop out of college. But yeah, that's what I got for you guys. A nice little report on actual U.S. government documents concerning the effects of UFO sightings on humans.
Well, listeners, if you experience unexplainable hair loss, or your flesh starts burning off, or you keep seeing that owl in the window,
or you turn into a water balloon.
Or you turn into a water balloon. They melt your skin.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. So, now that we're here at the end of the Season 3 premiere, I'm here to tell you that if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit subscribe. Only takes a second, and it helps us out a bunch. If you're listening on Spotify, go ahead and rate 5 stars if you think we earned it. If you didn't, then I don't know. Go away. But if you have a story about your encounter with an owl that is not an owl, or a ghost in the Badlands, or, you know about the Blue Pope, feel free to hit us up at Mad Tower Radio supermadtower@gmail.com if you want to email us. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Mad Tower Radio. Or you could comment it on this video, or if you know me in real life, you can just grab me by the shoulders and scream your schizophrenic rants right into my face. I'll write them down. I always have a notebook on me.
We're talking to you, Zach.
That's right. Well, everybody, if anybody has anything else to say, do it now.
Look forward to the fall. We got some plans cooking.
Oh, yes. This is all just the pregame for more live-action stuff coming this fall. All right, boys, this has been Mad Tower Radio, episode 41, season 3 premiere, and we'll catch you next time.
Unspeakable knowledge. This is Mad Tower Radio.